There's not a lot in this study to cover, but you might find a couple of gems here or there. We're moving on to our next parable. This is the parable of the mustard seed. The mustard seed. Let me go and share my screen. We will be in Matthew chapter 13, verse 31 through 35. And I got so many things open here as I'm getting ready to do my sermon prep. Let me see where we are. I hope this is the one that has where I need to go. That's not it. Let me go a little bit further. Yes. So, let's look at the scripture. Matthew chapter 13. Verse 31 through 35. If we get past verse 32, we would have done well. What's this snickering? it's only three verses. Yeah, it's really not a lot here. All right. Verse 31. Another parable, we know what a parable is, put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Now, without me showing my notes or getting into this myself, look at verse 31. And if you can capture the essence of that, we will move forward quickly. What do you see in the natural? And then let's look at this in the spiritual context in which is hidden in this natural story. Let's just focus on verse 31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Talk to me. What do you see?
Even though it wasn't much to look at, the man saw something in
it. Yes, absolutely. Even though Al is not much to look like, Juanita saw something in him.
She had faith.
She had mustard seed faith. Amen. And Al has grown from what he used to be, caveman, into a man who likes to play in the water and wash dishes and clothes. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Look, I think we need to look at the kingdom of heaven.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. That ain't no uh-oh. That's, oh, yeah.
No, that's somebody either is speaking from a spiritual perspective, or they've been looking at my notes. Okay. So, talk to us, Roger. What are you seeing there?
You know, the kingdom of heaven, we look at it as Jesus, but we look at it as the faith in Jesus and what he says and what he's done for us. So, it's like he is just one person, small, and which a man took and sowed in his field.
Right.
And I mean, I look at it as lots of ways to look at it. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man, which is Jesus, is a man and God also. Mm-hmm. He sowed in his field, which is his children.
That's awesome.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's one way to look at it.
Yeah.
And it does nothing for us until we
take that. And then we also.
Yeah, it does nothing for us until we take that step. Go ahead. Right. Powerful. I taught this at the prison, and they had some ideas. I'll share them with you. So he is right on top of where we need to go with this. I looked at this parable, and I'm like, there's not a whole lot here. But there's some basic fundamental things that we need to identify. And Roger just pointed out one of the key things, which is why you don't want to go to 32 until you really get 31 down. Check this out. The kingdom of heaven, and we quickly go past that to the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed. And the question we need to answer is, what is the kingdom of heaven? And what Roger said is one perspective of what the kingdom of heaven is. And now I just kind of open it up. I got a whole list of things here that I picked up from research and from what the guys at the camp said today. But
the kingdom of heaven is a lot of things.
Oh, well, let me get my pen out and be enlightened. Add to my notes. Because I'm going to tell you, I came into the prison this morning to teach this lesson, and I had my notes already laid out, and before I left, I had all this writing on the margins or whatever. That as we started getting, you know, so we can do this thing quick, fast, in a hurry, and be on about, we can clear out about two or three parables today. Let's just, as soon as we get past what is the kingdom of heaven, then why should we care?
Well, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven. I mean, he called himself the kingdom of heaven.
All right, so Jesus is representative of the kingdom of heaven. I believe that. Amen.
It's the message.
The message is part of the kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven?
I know when I got saved, it was hard for me to just believe that Jesus.
Right.
That just one belief that Jesus, my accepting Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Saved. It was hard for me to get there. That everything in my past is gone.
Right.
Okay, so when I finally got there, and then a whole lot of other things start opening up to me about what the kingdom of heaven is.
Okay.
Because I believe the kingdom of heaven, we can have it right here with us.
Yes.
And are dealing with one another, and it's like a whole nother world.
Okay.
Right here on earth, but there is another place. It's hard to explain because I don't know. I know what it is, but it's
yes.
Hard to put words to because it's we can have. God's kingdom right here on earth.
Yes.
If we actually believe that it is so, that what his word says is true.
Yep.
And that we live it in our everyday lives.
Okay. I like your answer. It's a truthful answer.
Chuck?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you call me?
No, I thought you said something.
Okay.
Yes. Did you have something to say?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, no.
The kingdom of heaven is living from a different perspective, living from a kingdom, a heavenly perspective.
Okay.
Like not letting your circumstances rule your life, but letting Jesus.
Okay.
And his love.
All right. Yeah. Good answer.
Seek first the kingdom of heaven.
Yep. Yep. Matthew 6:33.
All
yep.
that shall be added
yep.
unto
yep.
you.
Yep. Absolutely. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So, anybody else? Well, good answers.
Like I said, it's a lot of things. It's divine intervention. It's divine sacrifice.
Okay.
It's redemption.
Okay.
It's salvation. It's, it's the mystery.
Okay.
We don't talk about the mystery a lot, but the mystery is revealed to us.
Yes, it is. Yes. Yep. Yep.
The seed grows and has this huge impact.
Yes, it does.
And so it's all around us.
Yes.
If we choose to see, let it impact us and let God through us impact other people.
I like your answer. I like where you're going. So, Roger, open this up. This is one of the questions. Like where you're going, because now yes, okay. Let me, Anthony, you look like you want to say something.
Oh, no, I'm just trying.
Trying.
The kingdom of heaven is faith. Yeah, it's faith.
Yep.
Because it can, I mean, your faith can grow.
Okay. All right. Good answer.
That's true.
So let me tell you what the inmate said.
I have one more answer.
All right, go ahead.
Jesus left the throne. He was like that small mustard seed. He came into the world not as a king, but as a child. And as his ministry grew, the kingdom grew.
Okay, that's true. Nobody said anything incorrect.
It's a lot, just like Brian said.
Yeah.
So
let me tell you what they said, which adds to what you guys already said. But now I think you understand the need here, because it is, could be so many different interpretations of what it is, all of which are true that we heard so far. I think it's important for us to narrow this down so that we really understand the essence of this, because that's the key to the parable. He's making a comparison. The kingdom of heaven is like this. And we really need to know what this is so we can understand the comparison. All right. Here's what they said. The kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven? They said it's the Holy Spirit. I'm like, okay. It's cool. All right. Then they said it's the supernatural. I'm like, okay. All right. Then one of them said it's the promises. I'm like, that's good. Because in this parable, God is promising that from small beginnings, the kingdom is going to explode. It's a promise. All right. Then I got two answers here, and then I'll tell you what I found in my research. Somebody said it's where God dwells. I'm like, okay, that's good. And somebody else said it's dominion. And I'm like, and we just kind of camped right there. Look at the word kingdom. And in light of all the craziness and evil that's happening in the world today with sovereign nations, the Ukraine and their sovereignty, wanting to have their own kingdom, their domain, and somebody else wanting that power and authority wants to reign over them. All right. So it's fresh in our minds, this whole thing about kingdom. So just look at the word kingdom, kingdom. It means to have domain or to reign. The kingdom of God is about dominion and kingdom or rule or reigning. Who?
Authority.
Absolutely. I'm writing that down. Authority.
Over the dominion.
Who is it? So the kingdom of heaven is about dominion, authority, and who is in control. Because it's kingdom. And so the kingdom of heaven is displayed when God becomes, right, or begins to reign and take control or have influence, and his spirit. That is, in essence, the kingdom of heaven, because kingdom means rule, sovereign, authority, all of that. All right? And it's also where, they said, where God dwells. And I'm like, that's interesting. So, I like one of my favorite verses, Isaiah 57. I didn't bring my Bible. Somebody, I don't know if I want Al's, I guess Al's Funny Bible to do, whoever. Isaiah 57:15, keep your finger at Matthew 13, but if you turn, this is one of my favorite verses. When they said where God dwells, that just clicked something in me and said, oh, Isaiah 57:15, that's just a great, great verse or whatever, because I believe the kingdom of heaven is where God dwells, because he's the king, and the king has to have a throne. So he has to sit somewhere. So where does the king dwell? Whoever's got Isaiah 57:15, please read.
The high and lofty one.
Yeah, well, read the whole thing. You just hit the good parts. Oh, no, that is the beginning of it. Go ahead. Go ahead, Sandra. Go ahead.
The high and lofty one who lives in eternity.
Hold on. Who is, class, the high and lofty one that lives in eternity?
God.
Keep going, Sandra.
The Holy One says this, I live in the high and holy place.
He lives in heaven.
Those whose spirits are contrite and humble. I restore the crushed spirit of the humble. I revive the courage of those with repentant hearts.
Now, that's powerful. Al, I don't know if your version says anything else. It's the same thing. Okay, good, good. Yeah, all right. So Juanita wants to read her version.
Go ahead. This is what the high and exalted one says.
This is what the high and exalted one says.
He who lives forever, whose name is holy.
Yes.
I live in a high and holy place.
I live in a high and holy place.
Also with the one who was contrite
but and also with the one lowly in spirit.
To revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite.
A lot of good news in that.
There's awesome good news. And let me tell you why I like this and why I like what they said at the camp today. They said the kingdom of heaven is where God dwells. We just saw the Old Testament scripture where God says, hey, I dwell in heaven, but I also dwell in the hearts of the brokenhearted or the humble.
Yeah.
And we know that humility. Now, you know, whenever I see humility, I'm thinking steps. And I'm thinking, okay, the first step to the kingdom being in us is our humility and brokenness. Or else the kingdom, you know. And so I'm looking at this, I'm like, oh. And then I saw that it's not just that he dwells, but he starts to do a work to revive and to restore. So I went a little further. And I started looking at some things. I also said it's heaven over earth. Heaven over earth. Okay? That means heaven has sovereignty or reigns over the things of the earth. The kingdom of heaven. Now, I'll share with you some notes. As I'm looking at this and doing some research, because there's a lot of different opinions, but this one hit home to me. What is meant by the term kingdom of heaven? Opinions include a process. And as soon as I saw the word process, I'm like, I wonder if the steps are involved. So the kingdom of heaven is a process, all right, where God begins to reign in our lives and take control, where the things of the earth no longer have control or dominion over us because we're looking at it from a different perspective, all right, and we are. Now, obviously, when you look at what has happened in history, not only is the kingdom of heaven what we just described it, God ruling on the earth, but it's prophetic because some people relate it to the growth and state of the church. Look at how the church has grown. You got 12 people, half of them probably fishermen or whatever. All right. You can't get more mustard seed than that. And all of a sudden we're meeting today. Because of the work of those 12 started and the seed that was planted in them through Christ, who is representative of the kingdom of heaven coming to earth. I like what I just said. Christ.
Leaving the throne.
Christ leaving throne.
Chuck, does it not blow your mind? God of the universe who created
yes.
all of this.
Yeah.
And yet he can be in each of us.
It blows me away.
The Holy Spirit. I mean, that's.
Yeah. And he doesn't mind. And notice when he comes in. Because if you guys knock on the door, as much as I love Norm, if he knocks on the door.
You're going to pick by step. Is it inside of you? No, you're going to pick.
Well, Not necessarily. But yeah, well, I don't have a problem, especially, well, I don't want to go there. Nor might not get in my house if my wife hasn't been there or we haven't jointly cleaned the place up or whatever. All right. Normally the house is in pretty good shape. Well, if she ain't there to wash them, then they're going to be hanging someplace, you know. And so I'm not, so Norm can't come in the front door, or that's as far as he can get in the house, because I'm going to be closing the bedroom door if I got my stuff all over the place or whatever, you know, because the house ain't clean. Now, my house is usually clean, but just in case, you know, there's some areas, now Norm don't need to come over there, because I don't want him to see how bad this is. And I'm sure as a realtor, he's seen some bad stuff. God doesn't care. He comes in first, and then we'll deal with the cleanup later.
Amen.
Wow. So it's a process. And it goes beyond just the state of the church. The kingdom of heaven is in us if we follow the steps. Now, that's huge. Because I kept looking for the kingdom of heaven, you know, when I first started doing it, it's like, kingdom of heaven, where is it? I kept thinking about the kingdom of heaven when it comes, the New Jerusalem, when it comes down. And that's true. But I don't have to wait for the New Jerusalem, because God is saying the kingdom of heaven is like this right now, and it's in process. Because it's expanding. And changing, and is following these steps or whatever. And yes, it is amazing that he wants to dwell with us. That's evidence of the kingdom, and the kingdom works from the inside out.
There is many facets to the kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
There are facets to God which are incomprehensible.
Yes. And because it's incomprehensible to our small, finite minds, all right, he gives us a parable to help us to understand this is how awesome this is. So we could go through this very quickly and easily, but I had to stop and ask myself, I see all these, the kingdom of heaven is, the kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of heaven. Okay, well, what is the kingdom of heaven? Because as I'm looking at this, there's not a whole lot for me to really teach or to expand upon when we're talking about this mustard seed. Hey, it's a mustard seed. It's small and it gets big. End of story. Let's go home. All right? But he's so awesome. Anyway, let's just keep going. All right. All right. I say here it's similar to the term kingdom of God. Is where he begins to have control of our life, where he begins to reign, where he begins to dwell. All those things that you guys said and what the inmates said or whatever, where he begins to have domain and authority. And then one guy said this, you know, I've been doing this. I was having this conversation with my wife, you know, over 30 years. You know, I had plans. I had all these plans of things to do or whatever. And my problem is I've given God control of my life, but it's like I'm sitting in the seat next to him, and I want to help him out and take control. And it reminded me of that bumper sticker from back in the day. Anthony's too young. He don't remember this. The bumper sticker that a lot of people put in their car. God is my co-pilot.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, man, that's so neat. They're talking about God. And I'm realizing that that's the problem.
Yes.
He's the co-pilot.
Pilot.
And he's not the pilot.
Yeah.
And when you start out in this process, he starts out as the co-pilot, but eventually we have to surrender. So what he was saying is, you know, he's in control, but sometimes I feel like I got to take the wheel. Isn't that a song about Jesus take the wheel?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Country song. Jesus take the wheel. But, you know, we want Jesus to take the wheel. It's kind of like when my wife is driving, you know, praise the Lord. You know, she came to go pick me up. She's dropped me, you know, came to give me a ride from the car shop. I hadn't been in the car with her for a while. And, you know, she's driving. And every time I drive, she's got a little sensor on her car, you know, that'll beep when you get too close.
Yep.
A man is like she's playing Yankee Doodle up in there. beep, 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 beep. Like, man. I said, that's one way to get saved, because you're scaring the devil out of me.
You have a little faith.
I owe you a little faith. Yeah. It's, man. So I want to take the wheel. I'm giving her instructions. You see that car there? Here it comes. Here it comes. Watch out for that. That light's yellow.
I don't have to worry about that anymore.
You can drive all you want. Man. So I understand what he was saying. And sometimes in this walk, and so as I looked at it, I heard him say, yeah, I get it. I understand. I fully understand what you're talking about. Because sometimes we don't let the process fully go through completion, because we keep getting in the way. And when we do that, we interfere with the reign and sovereignty of God in our lives. Woo! So we can't grow as big and large as he intends for us. Like I said, it ain't much there.
Check somewhere else in the scripture, talk about a seed dying and then bearing fruit. So you can talk about
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 15. All throughout the Bible, it talks about the seed. Yeah, we've gone through the parables, parable of sowing and the seed. You know, so let's go. Let's go a little bit. You know, so when I saw process, of course, I love the idea of the feast and the steps or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know. All right. So another parable. Put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed. So this is what it is like, all right, for the kingdom of God, for God to rule and have control and authority and sovereignty in our life. This is what it is like. For God to be able to control our life, for us to be able to surrender fully to God in our life, it is like this. It starts out small. It starts out like a grain of mustard seed, which a man, let's call him Jesus or whoever, all right, you know, puts inside our hearts, hidden there, working on the inside. And then it starts to become the fruit of the kingdom. Goes back to the agricultural thing. I'm burying something and I'm expecting something to come out of this. All right. Verse 32, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Now, what do we know about mustard seeds? I know nothing of mustard seeds. So I did some research. Praise the Lord for Google. That's how I know he's coming back. A mustard seed is 1 to 2 millimeters in size. Very small. Let me tell you. You see the little circle on the screen there? That little circle there? You could probably fit about 5, 6, 7 mustard seeds in that little circle.
Wow. Yeah.
A mustard seed is very, very tiny, very small, easy to be overlooked. All right? That's what I know about a mustard seed. Here's what else I know about a mustard seed. As I said in my notes, it turns into a bush. One seed can turn into this big old bush, all right? And the bush, according to my research, can grow upwards to like 20 or 30 feet.
Ooh, that's a tree, though, isn't it?
Ha-ha, hold on. Oh. But it starts out looking like a big old bush. So when I started looking for mustard seeds and pictures of mustard seeds on Google, most of the pictures of the mustard tree look like big old bushes. I'm like, where's the tree? He said tree. I'm expecting to see a tree. all I see is these big old bushes. And then finally, I saw a few pictures of trees. And the trees look weird. The branches hang low to the ground, and it's atypical. The tree grows, it's not like these popcorn trees or pine trees. The tree grows as wide as it is high. Oh my goodness, all I can see is Jesus. I remember Pastor Lawrence used to always say, first you want to reach up to God, then you want to reach out to others. Just as far as you can reach God is as wide as he wants you to go. And so the tree, when it actually gets to be tree form, if it gets from the bush form or whatever, it's a bad bush. I mean, it is just a huge growing bush, all right? But when it gets into tree form, that thing just, it explodes. Then I found out that the seed is used is one of the most popular herbs and ingredients even today. I mean, the mustard comes out. There's so many uses of the seed that comes in when you grind it up and do it. It is a very valuable herb. That's what a mustard seed does. That's its purpose. That's what it is in the natural. And Jesus is saying the kingdom is going to grow like a mustard seed. Somebody talk to me.
When I was growing up, and you can probably still get them, but you would see girls wear a necklace that had a little ball on it. Inside was the mustard seed.
I remember seeing some of those, yep.
You had to have it magnified in order to see it. You think it's a lot bigger than it really was inside. So the things that God uses, it just blows my mind.
Yep.
And I have a small mind.
All right.
So when the tree becomes mature, it makes it easy for others to feed off of it. It's low to the ground.
I found that out. I saw that in my notes. I looked at the, as you see on the screen, mustard trees. They have an irregular shape. The branches hang very, very low to the ground so that it can reach low levels. It does bloom. It bears fruit. All right. Doesn't need a whole lot of water. The fruit is sweet. It's just awesome. So he says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, all right? So small and very insignificant, but when you plant it in his field, when that faith is in the right place, the expectation is it will grow. And not only will it grow, it will be great. Maybe this plays better in the prison when you're looking at inmates and you're saying to them, is this good news? Because you are insignificant. You are castaways. Nobody's expecting anything great to come out of you or this. And yet God says this is where the kingdom starts.
Well, you know, Jesus planted in his field, which would be his disciples.
Yes.
Plus some Gentiles, like the centurion.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then his disciples spread the word and it grows.
Yeah.
But I find one thing interesting here at the end. It says, becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches.
We're going to talk about that, but go ahead. Yeah. We might not get to it today, but go ahead.
I just think that it goes back to our stewardship of God's creation.
Mm-hmm.
That we can benefit his faith, our faith and our belief in Jesus and Christianity can be good stewards. We learn to be good stewards.
Yep. Yes.
because the birds are part of his creation.
Yep. Yep. That is a prominent opinion on all of this. So how do I get mustard seed type faith? How do I get this whole process of the kingdom starting in my life?
Step one.
Look at it in the net. You got to humble yourself. Even look at it from this perspective. If I were to, in the natural, take a mustard seed. Oh, my goodness. I got to write this down, too. In the natural.
On your own mind.
Davey, in the natural, if I want a big old mustard tree in my yard, a mustard tree, what do I have to do?
You have to take action.
Okay, I like that.
Plant it and water it.
So I got...
I mean, Chuck, it says right here, which a man took and sowed in his field. That could be... It could be Jesus, but it could be a man or a woman. You gotta take action, and you gotta plant it in good soil. So you gotta have faith. You're not gonna have faith. You have to have faith that's gonna grow, or you wouldn't do it.
I need a word which represents that mustard seed. I need to put that word into a broken up piece of ground, which is my heart. And then he starts to dwell. And when he gets into that ground, when he gets into that heart, when he gets into that circumcised heart, that broken up ground, all right, then the kingdom of God starts to move and it starts to grow and the process begins and he starts to expand. Oh, this is what God or Christ is saying in this parable. If you get me in the right ground, if you put your faith in the right place, you can expect it to be revived. You can expect restoration. You can expect growth. Little growth, great growth. And this should be a hope, an explosion. This should be a joy to all of us as believers, because while we might look at ourselves as being insignificant, while we might look at ourselves, well, you know, we're not on this platform, we're not over here, we're not doing this, that, and the other, I am insignificant, I'm small, I'm just a little bitty tiny person or whatever. We need to understand that that's who God looks for, because that's the kingdom. In Isaiah 57 says, God dwells in heaven, but he looks for a summer home. He looks for places, all right, that are broken, and he goes there to start this great work or explosion. If you are brokenhearted, if you see yourself as being insignificant and not making much of a difference, be careful. He's looking for you.
You have to know you have a need for a savior.
Yes. And yeah, you gotta recognize needs. And if he has already started to do a work in you, continue with the process, just follow the steps or whatever, because you have not seen your best days just yet.
Hallelujah.
It's a lifetime.
It.
I mean, and we're not all fingers, we're not all toes, we're not all heads, and just like members of the body.
Yep, you said that.
Didn't what Juanita read had step two in it also?
Yeah.
Had a repentant heart.
A repentant heart, yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Once I plant it, I gotta take care of it. I gotta protect what I planted. All right. So let's move on. Oh, application of the parable. The kingdom of heaven is in operation today, or in its current state, can be compared to a single mustard seed, very small and insignificant in the natural. There is nothing special about it, and it can be overlooked. As I was looking at this morning, I thought something else. If I'm expecting, and we're going to look at some other scriptures, we're going to look at, as I was looking at this, we're going to look at at Luke 17 and other places or whatever, where it talks about mustard seed faith. So we're going to go and look quickly, not today, but we're going to look quickly at the examples when Jesus talks about you just need the faith of a mustard seed. There's two examples in scriptures, in Luke and in Matthew. And I looked at this in the natural. I said, you know what? If I was getting ready, here you go. Don't pick on Anthony because he was absent last week. A mustard seed is like, I mean, it is like really small. I mean, I got to have my reading glass on to see this thing. And God is telling me that if I plant this one seed in the ground, that it's got the potential to get huge in my yard. And I want in my field this success, this favor. And I pull out the seed package, and I pull out one of these mustard seeds. But I got a whole package here. Or maybe I don't have to, I pull out this one seed. What do you think, just in the natural, what do you think, what's your first impression going to be when you see that one little seed? Boom. Thank you, Anthony, that you don't look like Anthony, but go ahead. Okay. Yeah. I thought about this. I'm like, oh, this ain't enough. In fact, I think I need to pour the whole pack up in here. Application for today. I noticed something in the scripture. He never says mustard seeds.
Oh, sure, that's the seed, yeah.
It's singular.
Yeah. Well, that's just one Jesus. Just one word.
But let's be careful, because if I were to see that one little seed, I should have brought mustard seed in here, but I'm too lazy to go to the store. If I were to see that one seed, I would think, no way, I need more seeds for this to pull this off.
Yeah, that's right, and that happens, but you got to remember, the time this was written,
yeah.
Jesus is talking about what he's doing.
All right.
He's doing.
Yeah.
And then you finish the sentence. You finish the parable.
Yeah.
It expands. The tree blooms and it makes additional seeds.
Yeah.
Plus it's used.
Yes.
By other people.
Yeah.
Or,
but at the beginning of this, I only need
one
seed.
One ingredient.
And that's the problem with some of us, at least with me, in the past. I just don't see how this one seed, you talked about it.
That's right.
Yeah. I just can't see how this one seed is going to produce all this. And he's saying, if you take the one seed, and you put it in the right field, nothing is impossible. We got to be careful that we don't get started because we feel like we don't have enough seed.
I'm sure maybe your guys at prison might think, you know, look at where I am. Look at where I'm at.
Exactly.
You know, God can't use me, but God can.
And you don't have to have a lot of resources for him to get started.
He's got
yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Something that keeps going to mind, I don't know if it's going to keep talking about prisons, but when it says it's the seed that a man sows inside himself.
A seed that
nurtures.
Okay.
And I think a good illustration that keeps coming to my head is when you are dealing in a court and you are dealing with somebody that is accused of murder.
Okay.
When that family of the murdered victim is a Christian and they have sowed the seeds and they can get up in court and forgive the murderer.
Right.
They are disciplined.
They are, that's large, the kingdom of heaven in that situation, because now, and you know what? I cannot be great in the kingdom without forgiveness. And I don't need to say, oh, Lord, give me a whole lot of faith here because I just can't forgive this person. No, just work the little bit of faith that he has and Let him do the rest. He can take you past something. Let's just keep going here for a bit. I saw this. The kingdom, here's the neat thing. The kingdom starts out like this, but Christ says it was never designed to stay like this. Once you get started and planted, you're not supposed to stay down. The process and the expectation and the goal is that you rise up from this and you grow and you become great. And the problem with some of us as Christians, at least in my previous Christian life, is I get settled or I'm okay, but I never become as great as he intends me to be because the process stops. That's why I got to keep going through the steps. And do I need to go through the steps every day if the seed has already been planted? Yes, because sometimes I won't see the manifestation of it, and I got to remind myself that I got something inside of me that he's using, and eventually, by promise, all right, this thing has the potential to be great, and in fact, that's his expectation. Some of us have produced fruit, and we think that's as great as it's going to be, and yet God ain't through yet. Just some other references or whatever. We don't have to turn to this, but when I'm thinking of the humble beginnings of the church, and you got to think about this. This is awesome. I looked up, and I can't remember what it was, but the major religions, there are three major religions, and Christianity is the biggest religion in the world today, followed by Muslim. I don't know whether it's Buddhist or Judaism. I don't know what's next, the third or whatever, but it has grown to that degree. We are here today because of a mustard seed example of how the kingdom grows. Two things before we get ready to close. All right. One, I looked at some other scriptures to see whether there's a pattern here, whether this is really applicable to us or is it just applicable to the kingdom. And I just looked at some of these other five examples. Deuteronomy 7:9, he chose Israel, not because they were the greatest, but because they were the least of all nations. Why does he pick the least? Because that's where his power is manifested more greatly and more evidently. We'll hit
there's
these.
There's a lot of pride and arrogance there. You're humble. Yep. You know that you can't do it. So God's got to.
And everybody else looks at you and says, how did you do that? Ain't no way in the world you could have done that by yourself. No, nope, it's the Lord.
Well, look what they thought of Jesus. Well, isn't this?
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't anybody.
No. We saw that in the last parable. Let me close with this. And I got this out. And we'll look at these other scriptures next week. So we'll pick up at the end of 32. And then we're going to have to talk about these birds, because there's some different perspectives about these birds that we need to be careful with. Two different perspectives on the birds. So one of the guys in the joint today said, I've been working on something and all of a sudden, you know, the 30-year dream is gone. And I was sharing with my wife that the 30-year dream is gone. And I looked at this parable and I'm like, yeah, but it's not. It just looks different than you expected. Let me put it to you this way. When I did the research on the mustard tree, and started looking for pictures of mustard trees, and all I kept coming up with mostly was bushes. What was I expecting in my search? A tree. And I was disappointed when most of my hits were coming back as bushes instead of trees. Because I'm like, this is not what I was expecting. And yet, even though it wasn't what I was expecting, what is happening is even greater. And what I want to share with this older gentleman is the 30-year plan that you had or what you've been working on is not going to happen the way you thought it was going to happen. But the parable says it may be atypical, it may be different. I hope I'm using that the right way. It may not look like what you thought, but it could be better than what you ever imagined. We can't get stuck in putting God in a box and saying he has to work this way and it's got to look like this.
God's ways are not our ways. And his ways are usually better if we just get out of the way.
So when you do the mustard seed and it's just, you got to be able to understand it may not look the way you originally planned, but if it's God's plan, it's going to be better than what you could have ever expected. I can show you, tell you so many examples in my life where I thought this was going to, and it didn't look the way I was thinking it was going to look, but then it wound up being better than what I ever expected because I just left it in the hands of God. The other thing he mentioned was loss. He suffered and he grieves over the 30 years. He said, I don't know if that's biblical or not that I'm grieving over this. I'm like, oh, absolutely. It's very, very biblical. And I went through the steps with him. First, you pick up your cross. What's the very next thing that Christ did after he died on the cross? He got buried. What do you do at funerals?
You mourn.
So I said it is scriptural and it is part of the process. And then I went through the Beatitudes with them because, you know, I wrote the book on the Beatitudes and they hadn't seen that. And so I went through the Beatitudes and that second Beatitude is blessed are they that mourn for they will be comforted. I'm like, no, in fact, you must mourn because it's part of the process. You have to mourn and grieve over the loss. And your failure, even if we're not even talking from a religious perspective, just from a healthy perspective. We have some people in here that have lost some things. And even every doctor or psychologist will tell you, you have to have a healthy season and period where you have to grieve and mourn over something that you lost.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Jesus did.
He did.
The devil did.
No, well, he's happy when you lose stuff.
Because, you know, so it's.
But you just don't stay there. Because you leave that morning at the cemetery, at the grave, at the tomb, and you take that mustard seed hope and you bring it into your next season. And you're better because of the loss, because God, by his promise, is going to have to do something much greater than what you have ever imagined. It just might not look like the way you thought it was supposed to look in your original blueprint.
I had a friend.
That's mustard seed. Yeah.
Looked at the tree and said, these look like bushes. They're used to 300 foot support.
Yes.
Our trees look like bushes. So.
Yeah. Come on, there's probably something in your life that you expected that may or may not be happening the way that you expected. But this parable is telling me it might be part of the process and God's not through. And he promises, according to his promise, that something great and significant is coming out of what you plant when you plant it in him. His word will not return void. Any other questions before we end? All right. Al, where are we going to pick up next week?
13:32.